Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good Friday morning, everyone. I'm Anna Sale, host of Death, Sex, and Money at WNYC, filling in for Brian Lehrer today.
I truly believe the only way we can create global peace and prosperity is only reading, knowledge, and education.
That's Malala Yousafzai in 2013. She's the 17-year-old girl who found out during her high school classes today that she's won the Nobel Peace Prize. She shares the award with a longtime campaigner against youth labor in India. We'll talk about both winners honored for fighting for the rights of children. Also today, we continue the show's anniversary series with a look at partisanship in Washington in 1998.
The whole city was gripped with this crazy fever where you knew, you know, the idea of impeaching the president over something that so many politicians have done here for centuries was nuts.
Stay with us to hear Brian's conversation with the witty New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd, who won a Pulitzer for her coverage of the Clinton impeachment. That's 25 years in 25 days. And later on in the show, Marketplace's Kai Rizdahl explains how he came to love the numbers. He'll school me on which numbers are really worth paying attention to, like the GDP and even Netflix ratings. But first today, does your neglected neighborhood park deserve an upgrade? And is it getting one? Mayor Bill de Blasio has announced that $130 million of city funds are going to 35 parks and playgrounds across the city that really need the money. These are the parks that haven't seen much investment in the last 20 years and stand in contrast to the major parks projects that saw so much attention during the Bloomberg years. Joining me now to talk about the 35 parks and what this $130 million investment means is City Councilman Mark Levine. He represents parts of Upper Manhattan, and he's also chair of the City Council's Parks Committee. Hi, Councilman. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Anna. Great to be here.
Great. And listeners, you can follow along with a map on our show page. It's actually a very cool map. Go to WNYC.org, click on the Brian Lehrer Show page, and we've got a map showing where these 35 small parks and playgrounds are that are getting the upgrade. So, City Councilman Levine, can you just introduce us to these sites a little? Where are these 35 parks, and how were they picked?
Well, they're in low-income neighborhoods throughout the city, places like Northern Manhattan, the South Bronx, Corona, Queens, Central Brooklyn, North Shore, Staten Island. And these are small parks that have been neglected for years. In fact, one of the criteria was that they would have received no more than $250,000 in investment by the city over the past 20 years, which is really nothing. And many of these are nothing more than blacktop, just asphalt. Not too many places in the world that would call that a park. But alas, this is, in many neighborhoods, the closest they have to a green space. So the big announcement this week will invest a considerable amount of money, average of about $4 million per park, to bring these back to life for the communities that surround them. Just want to mention that these were also selected based on the number of low-income residents in the neighborhood, based on density and growth. There was a really smart rubric that the Parks Department came up with that targets needy parks and needy neighborhoods.
So you say some of these are just blacktops, but they are places to gather in a neighborhood. Are these blacktop parks some of the playgrounds? Are they all going to have an infusion of green and become greener green spaces?
Yes, they will. And you are so right in talking about how important these spaces are. I mean, these are the parks where people send their kids to play after school, where you might walk your dog, or where you'll take your toddler to play in the sprinklers on a hot day. These really are at the heart of neighborhoods, and they're so critical to neighborhood health. And, you know, progressives like to talk about wages and housing, and we also have to remember that green space and open space is a progressive issue, because we want to make sure that low-income neighborhoods don't miss these great benefits that healthy parks help healthy green space.
That gets to the concept of parks equity, which is a term we've seen coming out with some of these announcements. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But I want to just focus once again on the map that we have on WNYC.org on the Brian Lehrer Show page. You can see a few clusters of sites that are going to get these new city funds for upgrades. For example, there are several in East Harlem. There are three parks within blocks of one another in Manhattan, just south of the Williamsburg Bridge. The sites in Brooklyn are mostly in Crown Heights or Bed-Stuy. What does that tell us about where these are sort of clustered together?
Well, as I mentioned, these are designed to target low-income neighborhoods. And so you've mentioned the city's principal low-income areas. But the question is, how is it that it's these neighborhoods which are underinvested? And that goes back to the trend in park funding in the recent decade, in which the focus was really on large destination parks that received hundreds of millions and wonderful capital investment and have thrived because of it. Places like Governor's Island and the High Line and Brooklyn Bridge Park, and mid-sized regional parks also got money in many cases thanks to Plan YC. But there really wasn't an emphasis on the kind of small neighborhood parks that we're talking about here. In fact, the Parks Department tallied it up, and there were over 200 neighborhood parks that have gotten almost no investment for two decades. And they're clustered in low-income neighborhoods and communities of color. And so the mayor's plan is about beginning to change that and investing in the very neighborhoods that have been neglected in years past.
And you say part of the criteria was less than $250,000 over the past 20 years. Listeners, how is your smaller neighborhood park doing? Give us your report, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you live near one of these 35 playgrounds and parks that are going to get this upgrade, tell us how you'd like to see that money spent, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Councilman Levine, so this is a $130 million investment in these parks. Can you put that number in perspective for us when you compare it to the annual budget of Central Park, for example? How should we understand this $130 million number?
Well, actually, the total number, Anne, is even more because the city's Department of Environmental Protection has put in $37 million in capital money for green infrastructure. These are things like tree pits that collect rainwater and other important green infrastructure. And there's also some money in there for operations. So the total package is about $175 million. And even in a city as big as New York, that's a lot of money, particularly when it's focused on 35 small parks. You asked about comparisons. Total operating budget of Central Park, I guess, is about $45 million, although that's operating money, not capital money, so not an entirely fair comparison. But during the Bloomberg years, there were, I believe, a total of $5 billion invested in parks, and I mentioned where the emphasis of that was. So we have not solved the problem entirely with this significant investment. It's a great start, though, and it pushes us in a new direction, and I'm hopeful that there will be additional rounds. In fact, the Parks Department has indicated that they're strongly considering additional rounds. I think we need that to really manage the scale of the challenge, but I'm thrilled. I'm really celebrating that this investment puts us in the right direction.
So it's not just a different approach from Mayor Bloomberg, from former Mayor Bloomberg. It's also a different source of funding. This $130 million is all public funds. And that's not exactly what Mayor de Blasio campaigned on when he was running and what he talked to Brian about this spring. Let's just take a listen about how he envisioned some of this, how it could be funded.
What's the biggest thing that would be a measure of success for you regarding parks?
Making sure that parks that right now are more neglected get more resources and can be maintained better.
Do you plan to fight for the requirement you've endorsed that the better endowed parks conservancies give a percentage of the donations they get to lower income parks?
Mitch Silver and I both said this. We're looking for a smart methodology to help parks that are less advantaged. That's one option, and we're going to talk with all the stakeholders about it.
So no commitment to fight for that particular
system?
It's
something I think is a valuable proposal, but we're looking at every possibility to get fairness for parks that aren't doing as well.
That's Mayor de Blasio referring to Mitchell Silver, the Parks Commissioner, and the idea of asking the private parks conservancies to dedicate some of their funding to some of these neglected parks. Why was that approach eventually abandoned, Councilman?
It wasn't. In fact, he uttered words almost identical to what you just played at the announcement on Wednesday. And he's right that the conservancies can and should do more to support parks beyond their borders. And discussions on how that might play out are underway. There's a variety of plans under consideration, and I'm confident that soon we'll be hearing more, at least on a good start in that direction. But I want to point out a key fact here, that the scale of the need in neighborhood parks is just massive. It's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. In fact, the Parks Commissioner, Mitchell Silver, says that of the 200 parks which have been neglected under this rubric, there's $1 billion in unmet capital needs. And the amount of money that might be recouped from the conservancies is a few million. Every penny counts, and it's important, and we want to get more resources into low-income parks. But we just can't let the public sector off the hook here. This ultimately is a problem that the city has to solve, and we have to make the investment of public dollars if we want a system as big as New York's to reflect the values of equity that we hold dear.
Scott in Soho has a question about how that taxpayer money is going to be spent. Scott, what's your question for the councilman?
I would like to hear, take one of the smaller parks and explain exactly where $4 million can be spent. And also, I guess we already have a parks department that we give money to, so I'm curious what their budget is. And, you know, why are these parks being neglected if we're already allocating some money to the parks department? I mean, I'd just like to hear some specifics on how they're going to make playgrounds better and things like that, and how much money they're actually paying for this stuff.
Thanks, Scott, for your question.
Government is not very efficient.
Councilman, how do you answer that?
Well, these are small parks, generally under 5 acres, and so that means that the $3 or $4 million that will be available for capital investment in each park actually can do almost a complete gut renovation. And when you're starting with just blacktop, that's what you need. And so we can bring in more greenery, water elements, modern play equipment with safer surfaces. There's just so much you can do in a playground when it's well thought out and you have the resources. And this is what we hope to see in these small parks around the city. You know, as for the broader parks budget, it's roughly about a little over $400 million on the expense side. That's a lot of money, but it's actually only about 0.5% of the total city budget. And that is far less than what we used to devote to parks in decades past. In the 60s, it was about triple that. And it's also less than the cities around the country are spending on their park systems. And I think that needs to change. This announcement Wednesday pushes us in the right direction, but I think we need to invest much, much more money in our park system, not just on the capital side, but on the expense side, for things like maintenance workers and gardeners that are what keep parks usable in the long term.
Yeah, so when you talk about capital investments, should we understand that this is also a commitment to keeping toilet paper stocked in the new bathrooms?
Well, I hope so. There actually is $6 million in this plan that goes precisely to gardeners and maintenance workers and playground staff in these 35 parks. And there's also, crucially, $1.2 million of expense money in this plan that will go through the Partnership for Parks to support neighborhood volunteer groups that can take ownership of their parks and provide stewardship. And that's so important over the long term. But none of this solves the broader need to increase the Parks Department's operating budget. But we made some progress in that direction this year in the budget process. City Council was able to put $16 million of new operating money in, and some of that's going to this great plan. But we need much more long-term to make sure that every New Yorker has a well-maintained park.
Christy in Brooklyn, you like the condition of the park near you, right?
Yes. I live in Sunset Park, and I'm actually a block from Sunset Park. And we've received a lot of funding in the past couple of years. There's been a new playground. We're getting a water feature. There's a soccer field was built, and it's really been so great for the neighborhood. All different people from different cultures are using it, and it's just such a wonderful benefit. I'm so happy to hear that other neighborhoods are going to be able to have that same transformation.
So you saw that cash infusion during the Bloomberg administration?
Yes.
Thanks for your call, Christy. Councilman Levine, there was a little back and forth about Mayor Bloomberg's approach to parks and Mayor de Blasio's approach to parks. On balance, looking at what Mayor Bloomberg accomplished in our park system, how do you feel about it? Do you think it was something that he should be proud of, a proud legacy?
He had some big successes, particularly investment in great new marquee parks like the High Line and Brooklyn Bridge Park. And they also managed to do more with less in a time of tight budgets. And the Parks Department has been innovative in finding ways to stretch a dollar and deserve a lot of credit for that. But at a certain point, you can't do more with less. You start doing less with less. And since the Parks Department budget has been roughly constant, really for more than 20 years, as I mentioned, at about 0.5% of the total budget, at a time when park usership is up, and at a time when actually we've added acres to the park system, Mayor Bloomberg added, I think, about 700 acres, we're just simply not able to provide the staffing and other resources that you need to run a modern urban park system. One metric is the number of park staff per 10,000 residents. Here in New York City, that number is 6. And if you look at the largest park systems in America, that puts us at number 49 out of the 51 largest systems. So by objective measures, we simply aren't doing enough, and we need to do more. But I do feel that we're moving in the right direction.
So you say you at a certain point you can't do more with less, and you can't let the public sector off the hook. Where did this money come from in the budget?
Well, on the capital side, actually, it's important to note that $80 million had been put as a placeholder in the budget, in the capital budget of last November by the outgoing Bloomberg administration. Its use hadn't been specified, and we were happy to direct it right to these parks and high needs areas. The de Blasio administration was able to put in about $30 million of additional capital money out of the mayor's side. City Council put in close to $10 million of capital money, and a couple borough presidents put in some money. There were some private sources as well. So that got us to $130 million on the capital side. And then it's wonderful that the Department of Environmental Protection stepped up and put in $37 million. They have a large fund of money for green infrastructure, but this is money that's going to go right into these parks. There's all sorts of technology like permeable pavement that can help absorb storm runoff, and more advanced tree pits that can collect rainwater. So there's a variety of sources which have been pieced together, some good interagency collaboration, some good collaboration between the city council, which was able to put in money, and the mayor's side. And the total sum really adds up to something impactful.
And how much of this is one shot and how much of this is ongoing?
That's an excellent question. You know, capital money is by definition one shot. You don't re-renovate a park every year, but there are many, many, many more parks that need this kind of investment. And the Parks Department has hinted at an interest in future rounds. I would strongly push for this being an ongoing effort. Where we could have new parks every year, ideally, that got this kind of investment. But then on the operating side, by definition, you burn through the money every year. What you spend on staff, you're done by the end of the year. And so there we really need an ongoing permanent commitment to funding the kind of things which they really aren't quite as sexy. There's no ribbon cutting if you fund gardeners.
Just talk about toilet paper, I'm telling you. That's a populist cause right there. Emily in the Bronx has a question about some maybe unintended consequences of these investments. What's your question, Emily?
Well, when he mentioned low-income residents or neighborhoods, the neighborhoods that he mentioned are neighborhoods that are transitioning, and the low-income residents actually having to leave the neighborhood because of gentrification. So I just wanted to know, I haven't looked at the map yet, but, you know, neighborhoods outside of those radius of Bed-Stuy, Williamsburg, and, when you know, the South Bronx most likely would be like the Watershore area.
So that's a good question. Councilman Levine, are these just neighborhoods that are gentrifying, and you're answering the sort of taste of the new residents in these neighborhoods?
No, I don't think so. These are overwhelmingly low-income neighborhoods. This was a criteria. But I don't think the way to fight displacement of low-income residents is to stop improving the neighborhood. It's to fight for tenants' rights so that low-income residents aren't pushed out by landlords. It's to fight for permanent affordable housing, as we're doing in the city, so that low-income people have apartments which will be affordable to them in perpetuity. But we're not going to stop improving neighborhoods. We don't want to neglect parks in communities of color for any reason at all. Every New Yorker deserves a great green space. This is critical to physical health. It gives you a place to do exercise. It helps you build social capital with your neighbors. It's good for resiliency in the case of ever more deadly storms. There's all sorts of benefits, and we want every community, including New York's poorest neighborhoods, to enjoy these benefits.
So we've been talking about 35 parks and playgrounds that are going to see this investment. Kristen, what's your question for the councilman?
Hi, I'm Ms. Kirsten. I'm calling from Manhattan.
Kirsten, excuse me.
It's okay. I'm calling because I think it is great that attention's being paid to our parks, our playgrounds. The council member had mentioned that potentially there might be a second round of parks that might be able to receive upgrades. So my question would be, how is there a way to get your neighborhood park to be potentially considered for the next round of upgrades?
Thanks for your question.
Sorry, what neighborhood did you live in again, Kirsten?
I live in the East Village, but the park I'm calling in reference to is in Alphabet City, Joseph C. Sauer Park.
Right. So there were, I believe, three parks in your area that were targeted in this first round. Doesn't sound like your neighborhood park is one of them. But I'll mention several things. One is that each individual council member has the ability to direct discretionary capital money to their park, and so you should advocate to your council member, which I believe would be Rosie Mendez, if I'm not mistaken,
in
the coming funding round. But listen, reach out to my office if you can and tell us about your park. I'm very active on Twitter. Maybe you'll tweet at me at Mark Levine NYC, and we can look into that park and bring it to the attention of the Parks Commissioner.
Thank you so much. I sincerely appreciate that.
My pleasure.
And Judy and Astoria, you have a pretty practical question.
Yes, I am actually a pet caregiver and a dog walker in Astoria, and I called because although we have a beautiful park in Astoria, the area that is supposedly used for a quote-unquote dog walk or a dog run is a privately owned piece of property that we really can't take dogs to because they have gotten so violently ill because it's never been kept up. And for the thousands of people in Astoria who have been talking to me about getting a dog park, what can you do to help us to actually make that happen? All we're asking for is a space large enough to keep the dogs enclosed and keep people and dogs safe. Recently, and the reason I bring this up is two dogs attacked one another, and one of them wound up in a hospital with tubes and IVs because dogs just run loose without any supervision.
No safe place for dogs. Councilman, how many any of these 35 parks have space for dogs?
I actually don't know the answer to that question. I would hope that after the renovation, some will. I'm a big supporter of dog runs. I'm not familiar with the dog run in Astoria Park that the caller is referring to, but would be happy to reach out to your local council member, Costa Constantinides, to talk to him about that. But the idea of dog runs is that they are safe places for dogs to be off a leash. You can't leave a dog off a leash in parks in general, so this is supposed to be one place where that can be done, but dogs have to be supervised. You can't just drop off your dog and walk away. If that's happening, then that's actually not allowed, and we should enforce that type of behavior.
And we have a question from the website from a listener who goes by CRNYC. You said before that the proposal to have conservancies give a percentage of their private funds to support smaller parks, that's still on the table. And the listener asked, if I donate to a particular conservancy, it's because I want to support that particular mission. Why should my dollars be redirected against my desired sponsorship? How do you answer
okay.
that?
I think that's an excellent point. And in fact, there's some questions about the legality of so-called tithing, which is why I think the mayor and myself and other parks advocates are really looking at a wide range of options, such as sending out some of the expert crews and of these well-funded conservancies to do good work in neighborhoods around the city. We're looking at enlisting existing park donors in a fundraising drive to help raise money into the mayor's fund. In fact, the First Lady, Charlene McRae, has identified park space as one of her priorities. So we'd love to see the folks who are donating to conservancies and wealthier neighborhoods today chip in to give to the mayor's fund so we can direct some of that money to low-income neighborhoods around the city. There's a whole bunch of ways that we can do that. I don't think it has to harm existing conservancies. I want them to continue to thrive, but I think that we can do much, much more for low-income parks, including with private money.
And one more question for you, Councilman, from George in Manhattan, who's a little skeptical about all this. George, what did you want to add?
Well, my concern is that if you take $175 million and divide it by 35 parks, which are primarily asphalt and poor neighborhoods, it's like throwing money to the wind, because unless you maintain these parks, protect them, and continually upgrade, you're not going to get $80 million each year from the mayor, from the past mayor, you know, leaving a little bundle for you. It's not happening. So what are you doing is actually just taking money that would ordinarily be used for, you know, meaningful things like feeding people or feeding seniors or taking care of people, and you're actually just, you know, one-shot deal, and then it's over with, and then the parks go right back to where they were before. And that's silly. I mean, it's absolute nonsense. $175 million could be better spent on taking care of people, not taking care of asphalt.
Thanks for your question, George, and your comment. And Councilman, how do you respond to that?
Well, look, people thrive on the green space in this city. This is about people. This is about health. There's a direct connection to social and emotional well-being when you have beautiful green space in your neighborhood. But I do totally agree with the point that it's not enough only to invest in capital money. We've got to do that, without a doubt. We've got to bring these parks up to modern standards. But if we just walk away and don't follow it up with the kind of staffing and other support that you must have to keep parks maintained and safe and usable, that would be a terrible mistake. And there is some money in this plan. I'm very happy to support that kind of additional investment, and I'm going to be pushing for more. But the point is well taken. We have got to, there's no shortcut. We have got to invest every year in the kind of maintenance that it takes to maintain a heavily used urban park.
So that is the thing to watch. What is the long-term commitment to maintenance in these parks that are getting this cash infusion? Again, you can go to our website, WNYC.org, click on the Brian Lehrer Show page, and you can see this map of where those 35 parks are that are getting these capital improvements. See how far it is from where you live. Councilman Mark Levine, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Anna. Thanks so much.
Sure. Councilman Levine represents parts of Upper Manhattan, and he's also chair of the City Council's Parks Committee. Coming up, we'll look inside community colleges and if our priorities are in the right place. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.